This is Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. This podcast episode is one of the series on the months. It's my husband, Del Piper, who puts all this information together for this series. So when I listened again, I was once again amazed how many powerful and interesting ideas are discussed. In this episode, we talk about the wolf, and Del answers the question, why does the wolf howl at the moon? And the number 11, which if you know us, it's our number, so find out why. What about how magic works? What does it mean to walk your talk? And getting out of the prison of human belief. Discover how 500 million empire state buildings relate to the human body, the rhythm of November, and how we access it. And that's just the beginning. Time to explore November, so come with me as we shift the story together. This is a really cool month because it's the 11 month, so I have to tell our personal story about 11 before we get started.
Yeah.
But when we first met, in the first year or so that we were together, every time I looked at a clock or anything, it always said 11:11. It was always said 11:11, and so I had no idea what numbers meant, but I mentioned it to Del, and Del, who knew what numbers meant, didn't say anything. But in the end, what we decided to do is get married on 11:11 at 11:11. And what I liked about the number, not really knowing anything about the number, was it looked like the Gehiel Gibran statement where he talks about two pillars holding up one building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looked like to me, is two as one, that in the balance and parallelness of it. That's what I loved about 11:11.
Yeah.
So that was my only understanding of it. But now, as we talk about it more, I see that I wasn't that far away from why I liked 11:11.
No, that's right.
So we're in the month of November, and we always talk about the rhythms and the colors and the animals. And where do you want to start with November this
time? Let's start with the native teachings that Twilight used to have about the number 11.
Okay.
And that particular month is about walking our talk. So it's walk in truth. It's the color is white. And, of course, the alternate month, or the one straight across from November, is May. So it's also about listening and thinking and about hearing the truth. So the expression is that of the May month, but the essence that reveals the truth is the November month of walk in truth, and it's the benefactor planner.
Okay, and that now we have to take that all apart,
because
that's
apart.
a lot of information. But what also we talked about is that really this is an adding on of information, that you need to know all the months. It's some of the things we talk about, it just doesn't stand alone. It's an additional bit of knowledge to learn more about who you are and what.
Exactly. So when you think about, well, there's 12 months, so you have to know all 12. You have to have the understanding of all 12 to have that complete spiritual understanding of what it is.
Exactly.
So obviously each month, it brings out more of the qualities of what the other months are. And then you understand all the months as one.
And since we're always talking about symbols, you have to understand spirituality through symbols.
Right.
That's what this is for, not to hold on to the symbols, but to understand what's
exactly true.
But you can't possibly just say, well, I'm going to listen to this month of November, and now I know it all because I was born in November or whatever. That isn't the essence of what we're talking about.
That's a very good point, because it's like, well, you can listen to the November one and say, oh, wow, look, that's me, I'm November, and then leave it at that. Well, no, you can't really know all of November until you know the other 11.
Right.
And then, because each month has something that brings more out of each individual month.
Wouldn't it be kind of like if you were looking at the clock and the only time you ever saw the clock was at 11 o'clock?
Wouldn't that be ridiculous?
Wouldn't that be silly?
Yeah.
You'd say that's the only time that's going on. So you really do have to know all of it. Mm-hmm. But I love that we're starting with Twyla's information about November.
Yeah.
Because, and then talking about her, Jamie Sands.
Right.
Who wrote the book,
The 13
Original Clan Mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about number 11 as walk your talk. And as I was reading that again, I was thinking how walk your talk really doesn't really say actually what is meant by that. It really should be walk your intent.
Yeah.
Because walk your talk, it sounds so surface, you know, blah, 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 blah. But walk your intent is based on what you're doing about shifting your perception and understanding what's really going on.
Yeah, a deeper awareness by far.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was reading that, the essence I got from that was that the 11 months that she, the original clan mother from 11th month, the woman that she's talking about in the 11th month, was so capable and gave this great example of how to do everything and was always the best and was perfect in everything she did. But she missed the other part. She missed the part of setting the example of the inner quiet and the calmness and not the striving.
Mm-hmm.
And until she got both sides of it, she wasn't the perfect example at all. And she had to become open and share with her counsel, the other side and not just the striving.
And see how that represents the 11? The number 11?
The balance.
The balance. Because when you look at the number 11, this should give you the idea right off the bat. All you have to do is see the number 11 and go, oh, there's two numbers there, two number ones.
Yeah.
They are equal in their height, width, all that, a number 11.
Right.
So that begs the question, am I being balanced in everything, all aspects? And the balance is being one in each place. So it's like the inner and the outer. Well, there's the outer action based on the within, going within to the inner silence and hearing what is to do and then doing that on the outside. But if you just do things based on external events and you react and do things based on that, well, it'd be like having a great big one on one side of
right.
the 11 and a little tiny dinky thing next to it.
Right.
Well, if it looked that way, that's, you know, if you're behaving that way, then it's mostly physical activity and all that stuff mm-hmm. and very little within time. That's what it would look like. If you wrote the number 11, it would look like that.
But we're also, you know, I could really relate to that woman in the 11 woman because it seems like to be a good example, you should be a good example of how to do things well. And it isn't an obvious awareness that you be a good example of how to not do things well, how to be real and honest within.
Yeah, what does that look
speaking?
Like? Well, as we were watching a show the other night, I Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
And they were bringing up the presence of one woman who walked across the stage, and they said, wow, that inner strength and silence.
Yes,
just
it was
came
extraordinary.
Through.
Yeah.
And so that's what it looks like.
And you know what other part about that is that I like, and it really goes back to, again, that walk your intent is, and the story, Jamie Sands' story, is being present. In the symbol that she was using, the human body, being present with yourself. And so that when that girl walked across the stage, she was completely present in her life, in the dance, on the stage, in
right
her
in
body, with everything, right in that moment. Nothing was going on but being present. And we've had this discussion quite a bit in the last month or so about people choosing to be here. Instead mm-hmm. of choosing to be half here, half not here, not just talking about in the past and in the future, but here, present in their life, how important it is. And so interesting that that's what number 11 in the month of November is about.
Yeah. And again, to have a deeper awareness, it starts with relaxation. So you start to relax and have that inner silence. It begins to come out and you can see it. You can feel that present behavior, that inner silence in an individual, where when most of us are thinking of past, future events all the time, and you can tell that as your own awareness gets deeper, you can pick that up very easily while they're not even here.
They're not.
And all you have to do is start listening to somebody, and then when you start talking, you can tell, well, they're not paying any attention because they're thinking about, well, what am I going to say? Or, oh, what did I say?
What am I going to cook for dinner?
or what am I going to cook for dinner? Or, exactly. So we're so used to not being in the present moment.
Well, then that kind of goes together with the symbol, the animal symbol for the month of November and 11, which is wolf.
Yeah.
So how does that go together?
Well, the wolf has very keen senses, and the wolf is known as the teacher. And some of the aspects of the wolf, its power ally is the moon, and that inner knowing, that stuff below the surface of things that's there. And they always said that when the wolf is howling at the moon, it is like it's looking and begging for more secretive or beneath the surface information. It's looking for that.
Ah.
Wanting that to come into its life.
So it's the inner silence. Wolf is the inner silence.
Inner silence, yes. And the wolf empowers the teacher within us all to come to the forefront of things. Because the wolf is about, it learns something and it wants to share it. And that is one of the watchwords of November, is share.
Share.
So it's a huge word, because when we learn something, as that inner teacher becomes more empowered, we want to share it with somebody. And that's when we really get the essence of what that whole teaching is when we start to share that.
Well, that goes back to what the woman learned, is that she had to share all of it.
Mm-hmm.
She had to be congruent. She had to share all of it, not just how great it was to be good at it, but to share the other side.
Yes, and remembering the story about the cougar, the mountain lion that was present?
Right.
At first she was trying to run from it because she thought it was, a dangerous thing that could possibly attack her. And so, again, as you're on the external outside of things and keep looking at it from that point of view, those things look very scary. In the end, it was the cougar who was always there for her,
mm-hmm.
to help guide her and get her to go within herself more.
Pause.
Exactly.
Oh, it's funny, because there's the part of it where he's licking his paws. I never actually put that word together with the word pause. He's licking his paws to show her how to pause.
Yeah.
Well, that was quite...
So she was afraid of the very thing that was actually guiding her and telling her to go deeper. I'm not here to eat you up.
And she could only really do that when she got so tired she couldn't go anymore.
Yep.
That's what happened, is she couldn't run anymore, she couldn't do it anymore, she had to stop, and that's when
and
she
it's
discovered
very reflective
it.
Of modern culture that says keep busy, you get to the point where you get so exhausted and something's going to get you to slow down. You can do it intentionally, slow down, pause, take the time, or external events will happen where you'll do it anyway. It won't be as much enjoyment to it.
Yes.
Is if you just start doing it. Because that's balance. You have to have the inner.
Yeah.
You have to. And if you don't do that, you're definitely out of balance.
Well, before we talk more about the inner, and there's a lot of perception stuff in here, which I love, what about the idea, what you've talked about? I thought it was interesting. You've talked about how wolf can't be caged. But you also mentioned that the bird was Quetzal. Is that how you say that?
Oh, the Quetzal?
Quetzal.
Yeah.
And when I was reading about Quetzal, that was what it was about, that it needs to be free.
Yeah.
It's the symbol of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting that both symbols for November, that was what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So how does the wolf thing you...
Well, the wolf knows by looking at something. That's the thing about that. When you start to go more and more into that inner silence, or as Don Juan, you say, that deep lake of knowledge. So it's transcending, as Stalking Wolf, it's transcending the physical, the man, and getting to that deepest meaning and that purity of understanding of spirit. You know things. You can see something and just know it without knowing how you know it. You just know it. And it's something that you could spend your lifetime trying to learn on the outside and not really get to.
Yeah.
But in that deep lake of knowledge, it's there. It's always present. But it's like going beyond the consciousness of human sense to that place where it's just everything's there at once. And so the wolf they said the wolf was caged. Sometimes they would cage the wolf and lock the cage, and the wolf would just observe it and be able to unlock the cage.
It
didn't go
amazing.
To lock school and figure out, well, how do you do this?
Get a degree
it
in
observed
locksmith.
It one time, and in that particular instance, however it was locked, it was able to unlock that cage or unhook the fastener or whatever it is they did there. And the other thing was, when they attempted to domesticate the wolf absolutely refused to be abused that way, and since it saw the only option out of this was to lie down and die.
Wow.
Because that is what it saw. I will not be abused. I will not be put into a cage and made to do something to satisfy your physical needs. No. And refused. And so you can look at the... And again, you have to look at the symbolic things of events that go on and ask yourself, what is this telling me? So when you see things like common day, modern day things where they're killing off the wolves, which they did when they first came to the shore, they started to kill off the predators because the bigger predator actually landed on shore. We've got to get rid of the other ones because no competition, you know, it's all about us. And it's just that attitude, which again, look at the 11. A balanced 11 says it's male and female as one, not great big one on the male side and a little tiny dinky one on the female side.
Right.
It's not going to work. And it's going to come to a head sooner or later to balance itself out, because in truth, it's all balanced. It's complete harmony. So if it's distorted in some way, sooner or later it balances itself out, either with intent to balance it out and say, well, this isn't going to work, let's really work on this, and go within. So you have to have balance there to help you do that. So when you see things where people are shooting the wolves from airplanes and things like that, you go, okay, what is that teaching us?
Yeah.
Because the wolf is the teacher.
Yeah.
You're killing off the teacher. Or the symbolic idea of this pure teacher.
Mm-hmm.
What is that telling us? And knowing that the wolf goes within, it sees that place within and shares that.
So in a sense, that symbolically is saying that we're afraid to go within.
Afraid to go within, because
afraid
if we go within, we refuse to be controlled from the outside. And if there's a thought out there that says we need to control and keep control of everything, then the last thing that idea wants is for the people to go within so that they can go, but make their own choices and go, wait a minute, I don't think this is right.
Right.
They don't want people questioning that.
Right.
So it's just telling you, you have to ask the question, what is this teaching me? What is this telling me that's going on? And why? Why would they kill off the teacher? They call it a predator. Yes, of course it does. It has to survive.
Yeah, as a predator flies across the air with a gun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and killing for no reason, a wolf. You know, I mean, in the society of the wolf society, it kills for a purpose and a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't kill just because it wants to. It's, let's just get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think a lot of what we're going to talk about today is that inner silence and perception, which goes together hand in hand. And we were watching a show about this, and then I read the article about magic and perception.
Penn and Teller
is working with scientists to talk about perception. And of course, I got all the Twitter about it because perception is my thing. But basically, what he's saying is so obvious to anybody who thinks about it that perception is the thing. But they're talking about how magic works because, and he's proving to them that because there are our brain cannot see what's going on. It absolutely is blind to what's really happening if you don't know it. So it's easy to do a magic trick and distract us from looking at what's happening because we have no capacity to actually see what's right in front of our eyes. So even when they slow it down, you can't see what they're doing unless they're pointing it out as they go. So it's just amazing. You can watch the magic trick knowing exactly how they're doing it, but you still can't see it because that's not how our perception works. It's actually got big blanks in what we look at. And we think that everything we look at, that's what's really there, when in actuality, all that's there is what internally we believe to be there.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to see science and magic proving what we've been talking about all along, that mystics and religious philosophers and everybody, every guru has talked about forever, that it's from within and projects from without. And if you understand within, as you expand your withinness, then the withoutness changes.
Yeah, because when you talk about that, the within or the internal, you know, if it's just a service internal where, you know, you've habitually done something for a long time, like Fred Allen Wolf's talked about in Eagle's Quest, we do things based on habits that we've done. Maybe we're abused as children or whatever, but it becomes so habitual that we draw that to us, or we keep creating that on the outside because that's something we're used to, but that habit becomes unconscious.
Right.
And we never think of it again.
Right.
But we're always unconsciously recreating that and pulling it into our lives because that's what we're used to.
That's what we've seen.
That's what we've seen all our life. And until you become aware of that, and by going deeper within, that's one thing that scares most people is, I go deeper within, I don't want to see something that might have happened that I forgot about. Well, yeah, okay, I understand that. And yet you have to go past that place. You have to go within and let go of that. You have to release that. And part of November, one of the main things about November is attracting, releasing. So what you attract into your life is old belief systems, old patterns and habits. You attract them to yourself based on those habits. And as you go deeper within about the understanding, like the wolf, as you have that inner silence, you become aware of that. That's when you release that and replace it with more of what is true and pure intent.
I'm thinking as you're saying that attracting, releasing is so important. But and as you go within, you discover hidden perceptions. Basically, you're cleaning your closet and finding a bunch of crap that you didn't know you've been storing there for however old we are.
Well, it's like you were talking about the magician.
Yeah.
The brain's only sees certain things.
Yeah.
It's like Brown said, when you walk into a room, you take snapshots, like snapshots of a few things in the room.
Yes.
So you automatically look in those particular places. Every time you walk into a room or walk outside, you'll look at specific places only. Everything in between, you miss it completely. And therefore, you won't see it. Even
right.
When somebody says, oh, see, you're looking right here, but see, this is going on over here. The habit is, you'll still, as soon as you walk into the room the next day, you'll still look in only those places unless you really work on being aware and going, wait, pause.
Yeah, look at it again.
Let me look at this whole room from this 360 viewpoint instead of this isolated tunnel vision kind of thing.
Right.
Like the other day, you had moved the ketchup
in the
refrigerator. And to show you, as you're just walking along, blah, 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 okay, open the refrigerator, look for the ketchup. It's not there. I go, what, we out of ketchup? No, you had just moved it. But my snapshot was, it's always right there.
Right.
See?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what happens. We only see it as we expect to see it. So any situation that we're in, we expect, oh, they're going to behave like that, this is going to look like that. And so you actually miss entirely what's actually going on.
Yes.
So, which is, I just love that it's that simple because as we shift our perception, and we're going to talk about what we shift it to, but as we shift our perception and our intent and our point of view and our state of mind, then everything that's already present with what many people call beyond the veil is visible instead of invisible. It's not that we have to go make anything happen or create it. We must say this all the time. But it's not about making something happen. It's becoming aware of what's already been done and already presented in whatever form is needed at the moment, because that's the practicality of God. The order of the divine is whatever we need at the moment as we see what it actually is, the real qualities of it.
Yeah.
As we embody that and let go of what's not true, then we see it. Then we see the ketchup bottle in the refrigerator, which was always there.
Yeah, and how do you let go of what's not true? I mean, we were talking this morning a little bit about going on to that inner silence, that place of inner silence. But if you take your beliefs with you,
Yes.
Old patterns, habits, and yes. old beliefs, worldly beliefs with you. It is like taking, it's like taking those series of snapshots when you walk into a room or wherever, and you have the snapshots in your hand. You go, okay, I'm going to take them to the inner silence and keep looking at my snapshots.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll come out with a broader knowledge of
what. So you bring your beliefs with you.
Yeah. What you want to do is take those and set them outside the door mm-hmm. of inner silence and not bring them in the room with you, because
right.
it will taint whatever understanding you get will be tainted with those beliefs.
Right.
Then when you come out of inner silence, or when you go, okay, I have the inner silence, you can always have it with you. You never really lose it. It gets clouded up.
Mm-hmm.
It is like the window of perception. It gets a little dirty and stuff, so you don't see it as clearly. But when you come out of that idea of it's pure inner silence and maybe you're going to move and be more active, you can pick up the beliefs on the way out.
If you want them.
If you want them and look at them, you'll have more awareness and go, do I want this one? Do I need that?
Right.
Do I have another understanding of what this does to me or what it does, period? So it really helps to deepen the awarenesses. And it'll be a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen. You don't lose them all at once.
Right.
Because you're still walking out there in the world, it looks like. So.
Yeah. And really, to other people, it may look like you're living your life the same as them, but you're not. Because you're coming from that inner silence and a correct perception, and which I was going to say is that, you know, if it's all perception, then we have to choose the perception we want to stand in. And since the closest one that we can get at the place that we're in now is the one that everybody says, that God is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. And we're
yes.
saying God is good. So that's the closest we can get to the best perception we have.
And you just brought up another really important point about when you go within, it's like the wolf teachings
mm-hmm.
of you don't look to the outside for approval.
Right.
And that's what we have a tendency to do. So we usually look at other people like, I wonder what they're thinking of me.
Yeah.
They're probably not thinking anything because they're thinking the same thing about themselves.
Yeah. What they're
so it's like, you know, you might as well give it up anyway. It's not what you think it is.
Yeah. And we do so many things when you talk about approval. We do so many of those belief systems that imprison us, because that's one of the things we're talking about, is being free.
Yeah.
Imprison us is to prove our value, to prove our worth to other people. You'll love me if I do this.
Yes.
Not I'm loved because I am.
Right.
But if I do this for you, you'll love and approve of me, which is the prison that most of us have put ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people might say, oh, I don't do that. But then they do the reverse. I'm not going to do anything anybody wants of me, because then that's, they think of that as a prison. I mean, they think if they do,
right.
you know what I'm saying? It's a
yeah.
reverse of the actual same thing. So they're, either way, whether you're doing it for approval or you're doing nothing for approval, you're still
yeah.
in that prison.
Two sides of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always talking about this material, the illusion of the material world is always two sides of the same coin. You're always bouncing back and forth. And the only way out of that prison, you know, like the wolf looks at how you got in it.
Yeah.
Is to look at, I know how to get out, is to go to the true intent of the true perception of what really is. That's
yeah.
the only way out.
Because the thing about that coin is the two sides of that one coin. When you go to cash that coin in, you're going to be told, oh, that's not worth anything.
Well, that's very true.
You're not going to get anything for it.
On the way out, when you try to pay your fee on the way out,
yeah,
well, that one doesn't. I can't give you anything for that one. But if you accept that, if you stay in the material world and you say, this is good, you know, unconsciously or consciously, we all say, I wish I could win the lottery, which sounds good. But if you believe that chance runs your life
mm-hmm.
for good,
yeah.
then you also have to accept chance runs your life for bad.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I really would rather not give matter that kind of power. So the only way out of that prison is to step back and know that good is the only principle running what we perceive
right.
of as the universe.
Yes. And the answer is always, the solution to everything is always within. It's always there. And we don't have to go to some institution to learn a specific thing so that we can know it. I mean, it doesn't mean that that's wrong to do that. It just means there, you can also know something without having to do that by knowing how to go within and see that pure knowledge that's down there.
Right.
It's like Brown told a story of Stalking Wolf to demonstrate a little bit about that. And I've experienced this myself many times. But Stalking Wolf and Brown, when Brown was 10 years old, he said they were walking through his front yard, Brown's front yard. And Brown's dad was working on a car. His dad was a very good mechanic, knew engineering, I suppose. I guess that's what he said something about. He knew a lot about those kind of things. But the car wasn't running, and he was attempting to fix it and couldn't find out what was wrong. And as Stalking Wolf walked by the car, he just mentioned out loud, "Combinator," and kept walking. And his Brown's dad said, "What? What the heck did he say? Combinator? What?" And Brown said, "Carburetor, Dad. He meant carburetor." "Well, there's nothing wrong with a carburetor. It's not that," because his dad knew.
Yeah.
He knows engines. He knows it wasn't carburetor. It couldn't be that. Well, later that day, Brown comes home and the car's running. He said, "Hey, you got the car running. What was wrong?" "The combinator."
Thought it was cute. He said combinator instead
and
of carburetor.
And so Stalking Wolf had no knowledge, no of understanding of car engines, but he saw, oh, it's that. That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
Because you see that in that whole field of vision. That's the idea of, so you walk into any room, you see the whole thing, the whole picture, and you can see clearly what's not working or what's out of place. Oh, it's that. Doesn't mean, you don't have to know anything about it, you just see, oh, that's what it is. I did that with a distributor with my dad. He was working on an engine, and I wasn't working with him at the time, but I just walked by. He's having he was having a problem with it wasn't running.
Yeah.
I said, "It's the distributor." "No, it isn't. I mean, is that really the same thing?" He said, "No, it isn't. Can't be that." And he worked on everything else and finally pulled a distributor and put another one in. It popped right off. So, you know, yeah, and it works that way, but it is that principle of, when you have tunnel vision, you take snapshots of so many tiny little things, you miss so much
of what's really going on.
Of what's there.
And you can't see what you don't understand.
Yeah, and the secret, not really a secret,
it's
the place to find it is inner vision, inner knowing, inner silence. It's going within. Don't take the baggage with you to go there. Go there. And
don't
go there
often.
Don't
take your friends with you. Don't take your baggage.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I didn't know November was all going to be all about freedom, but what is the spiritual meaning of number 11? What does that actually mean?
Well, there's in numerology, there's a lot of meanings to this number. In numerology, it's a master number. So it's a very basic and primary understanding of the number one is that of new beginnings and purity. Yeah?
Ah, new beginnings.
Yeah. And
of course, that was for us.
Absolutely, yeah. And it carries with it, again, the vibration of balance. It has to. You just look at the number and you go, that's to ask yourself, balance. How is that going on many different aspects? So if you're seeing the number 11, a lot is kind of asking you that at the forefront. Balance. Are you balanced in all aspects? Are you staying really busy in the external world and not doing anything with the internal world?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just asking you to balance. How's the male-female thing going? Or, you know, the female-feminine, the feminine principle and the masculine principle, are they balanced within yourself? Are they balanced on the outside? If they're really distorted on the outside, go within and see how they're being, how they are there. Are they balanced there within yourself? Are the emotions balanced out? Is everything balanced out? So it's asking you to look at that, especially if you're seeing 11 a lot, and knowing that that's there. So it's aware of balance. It's also known as the psychic's number because it's the most intuitive of all numbers, and represents illumination and deep insight. Again, going within, going deep within. It's also very sensitive, charismatic, and inspirational. So there's all that. And then when we go to Revelation and you look at, because they don't talk about the number 11 in Revelation, but if you look at the 11th chapter in Revelation, and again, since everything is symbolic, well, the symbolic idea of the chapter 11 in Revelation 11:1, they gave it, "Read, like a rod was given to me, and someone said, 'Rise and measure God's temple and the altar and those who worship in it.'" So it's an understanding. So it's measuring what is the understanding. Is there an understanding of what is God, spirit, mind, that pure principle? Mm-hmm. Is the understanding there? So measure it and understand it. And the only place you can measure it, in a place where there's no measurement. And that's within.
And with the premise of omnipresence.
Yeah, so what it looks like a measurement is really on the outside of 11, you're looking at the numbers 11 and you see them a lot. Well, the measurement might be, well, am I out of balance? Is my masculine really pounding things out? Boy, great, and I go the feminine, forget that.
Yeah.
So then the measurement is, oh, the one is huge, and the other one's dinky.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It can also be the other way.
And it is that other way. I mean,
people who are like, you know, I'm going to go within, I'm going to experience the oneness, but then they take no action.
And do nothing.
And
exactly.
Do nothing.
Exactly.
So now the world can take care of itself, you know, no hugs for my friends, you know.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's both ways. It has to go both ways.
Both ways.
It's that sitting on the couch waiting for money to land in your mailbox.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work. You have to do both.
And so the color for November is white. And
yeah.
When you look at its alternate, the straight across line to May, that color for May is black. So there's your yin and yang kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Black and white.
But together.
Balance is one. It has to be one.
Yeah.
If you don't have oneness in there, then you've got a line of separation there, and you're saying, this is true and this isn't, or and vice versa. So.
And you know, if you see 11, you're just seeing 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's just a constant 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a reminder of it's all one.
Uh-huh.
But in the real, in the bigger reality, not in the smaller reality. We
mm-hmm.
are not all one in the smaller reality. We're all one in the truth of being, but we
yeah.
act as separate individuals.
Yeah, and you know, the Chinese have a unique way, in the Taoist classics, they talk a lot about female and male and the oneness of things and returning to that oneness and, you know, on and on. And they say when, you know, because when we look at strength and receptivity, you know, you look at it like the female-male aspects of yourself, of any individual, that's all there is. You know, you have to look at that. So when strength and receptivity are joined in one, as they say in Taoist classics, and firmness and flexibility are one energy.
Ah.
The human mind changes into the mind of Tao.
Oh.
And conscious knowledge returns to real knowledge. Now you see how that's the same thing as going below what,
yeah.
what looks like consciousness
uh-huh.
to the real place, the place where, oh, there it is. The whole thing is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's complete. And then this is called the Absolute One, containing true energy. That's the male-female. And then they talked about the husband and wife, and they say, teach people to harmonize yin and yang to cause yin and yang to merge and return to one energy. And that's what that does. It takes you below the place where it looks like there was a line of separation to begin with between a male and female.
Right.
So.
They're always trying in human ways to make that work.
Yeah.
Instead of coming from that true intent of male-female beforehand.
Mm-hmm. And this is why the essence and why the idea of going within to understand the symbols that you see without on the outside, and you see things out there, as long as you don't latch onto them and attach reality to the symbol, then you can proceed from the symbol to discover the principle.
So you can actually spend all your time looking at symbols and translating them back to truth.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wrote to me when I'm doing a speech for someone, and she had written a little paragraph for me at the pitch, and she said, it said, learn how to, which symbols to pay attention to and which symbols to ignore. And I had to had her take that out because there are no symbols to ignore.
They're telling something.
So which symbols, what symbols look at, are you reading the symbols correctly or are you interpreting them incorrectly?
Yeah.
So if you interpret them from a material human standpoint, you're going to get the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of times people will say, you know, something bad will happen or something good, and they'll say, God is trying to tell me this, which is crazy because omnipresent good isn't trying to tell us anything.
Yeah.
It just is. But when we're out of that stream of omnipresent good, then we experience what we interpret as a way to get ourselves back to that awareness
yes.
of one.
Yes.
But God continues to be the omnipresent good no matter what foolishness we think we're doing on in the illusion or the video game, since that's the easiest one for me to wrap mm-hmm. my head around, the video game that we're calling Earth, and we're playing it forgetting that we're just it has nothing to do with reality at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And when we get to that inner silence, then we have that, we get once again return to that feeling like this is not there's more. This is only a tiny piece of the truth of being. Then we see beyond the veil, as we're talking about.
Right.
And then that kind of seeps in and dissolves the pixels of the game.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Kind of suddenly makes it dissolve. So it dissolves that pixel of that problem, that pixel. I mean, I can see that because we are now used to pixels and video games. So you can use that analogy, and it really makes sense.
Yeah.
So going to computers, if I can make a really big jump here, we were about the quantum physics we were talking about the other
day.
Oh,
right, yeah.
So
this is good.
We were of course, growing up with, you know, in my household where science fiction was actually true, in my mind, and Star Trek was the symbol of the future. We watched the show called The Universe on History Channel about. Could the things in Star Trek actually come about? And one of them was the transporter, which of course...
Big old buck deer I just saw in the backyard.
A deer just walked in our backyard.
Big buck.
The maid just came to visit us in our
cool.
backyard. We got Del's face went, oh!
Big buck.
Right here in the middle of the reality show call. Okay, now, so I was talking about transporting, which a lot of us often say, well, I wish we had a transporter, we can beam ourselves up or beam ourselves. And then we're talking about how impossible that is within the material realm, because there is so, I just love this symbol, because there are so many bits and atoms and blah, blah, blah stuff of each individual person that in order to disassemble it and reassemble it, you would need computer. You need
memory. Yeah, they were
talking
about memory.
Worth 5 million, filling
five hundred million Empire State Buildings. Let's repeat that. You would need enough hard drive disks, memory space that would fill 500 million Empire State Buildings.
So you know what I love about that. Is because that really gives you, once again, that symbol that we can kind of comprehend about the statement that Mary Baker Eddy says, that we're the compound ideas of God.
Uh-huh.
And then you go, if you get that what we're composed of
yeah.
to be broken down would take up that much memory space.
Well, remember we talked about that in about physics a few times ago about if you could release everything, if you had the capability of releasing all the energy that is within one human body,
yeah.
you could blow up the planet several times.
Yeah, and see, at 40, the number was 41 times the energy of the largest atomic bomb we have now.
Ever created, yes.
If you disassembled someone, it would actually create that yeah. kind of energy, which is why the transporter thing won't really work, at least in the context that we're talking about it. So, actually, there is another context within which it does work, because they were talking about you can't travel faster than the speed of light unless you gave up all your matter.
Yeah, there was no mass.
Unless there was no mass.
No mass.
So when we have symbols of people actually doing that, and you and I both have stories of people actually doing that other than what you read in the Bible.
Right.
In that moment, they were aware that they weren't those 500 million Empire State Buildings full of it.
Exactly.
They were light itself in that moment.
In that moment, and that's all there is.
And then they were able to transport.
It's like Stalking Wolf used to tell Tom Brown about penetrating the veil and getting to that place where you transcend anything physical to pure understanding, pure intent, pure spirit. Well, he said, we don't do that because we're taught that you can't do that. You can't penetrate the veil. You're taught that kind of stuff, which in essence you're taught, well, you can't go within and find out anything. You have to go outside yourself and learn.
And a medium. There has to be a medium.
Has to be a medium, a physical medium.
A physical medium for you to be with God.
Yes.
To be as the understanding of God. So, yes. And those mediums aren't just priests or rabbis or... And I'm not saying
people
are wrong. I'm
mediums.
Just saying everything is a medium. A stockbroker is a medium. A bank is a medium. Yeah. A pill is a medium. Mm-hmm. And so we, if you recognize that as the symbol that they are, we use them as needed, but still knowing the essence of what they are rather than the answer. They're the symbol of being able to reach within and find
exactly.
God. So there's nothing wrong with those things per se. It's the intent that we put on them, and say you're the answer is different than saying you're the symbol.
Yes.
It's a totally different mm-hmm. reason for putting, for using anything. Answer, no. Symbol of, yes. So that's why I always say you can be living the same life as your neighbor, but still be coming from the internal awareness of the perception, but it feels completely different to you than it might be to the person that struggles to make it look good.
Yes, because where you're at within yourself, I mean, from the outside it may look like you're doing similar things, mm-hmm. but within yourself you're in a totally different place.
Well, and again, it's just a little side, but again, watching So You Think You Can Dance and having taught dance for years, and you and your if I say expert, you won't like it, but your abilities within all the variety of martial arts called Bushu. Mm-hmm. We were watching one of the dancers, and you could tell that they were moving they were moving the extremities, and it wasn't coming from within.
And especially the high rising of the upper chest
right.
and the shoulders were up.
And it's so symbolic of how we live our life. We move the outside things. We get mm-hmm. we get the things, the houses and the cars and the right job and the right amount of money in our bank account. But we get them on the outside. But they didn't come from within and seen from the out.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That's what the Bible always talks about. That's what Job is about. Is letting if you don't have. That's what the three pigs is about. If you don't build it correctly, it can blow down.
Yeah.
So it's starting from, if we start from within, whatever the symbols from without, the house, the cars, blah, 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 will all be built on the essence of what they really
yeah,
are.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just attached on the outside. And you can tell the difference. You can feel the difference. Life is much different to be lived that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Well, it's just like in the martial art, Chinese martial art, Xing Yi, it's an internal art. It's an internal art form. And the whole idea of Xing Yi is shape and tension. So what is your intent? What is the shape you're taking? But it's based on 12 animals. So you're taking the shape of each animal and you're feeling that shape and the intent of that animal, which gives you the essence of, well, what is really there?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the basic postures in Xing Yi is called San Ti Shi. And it's the idea of heaven, earth, man in between, and all connected as one. So you have that very solid feel to it. And it's like the tree, which they talk about the tree as the principle. It's a good symbolic principle of man because mm-hmm. it's rooted mm-hmm. in the earth, in the feminine. Its branches and crown reaches out to the sky, the masculine. Its trunk is the solidness that holds it all together. And it's all connected as one.
And when you do that posture,
yeah,
you feel like that tree.
And that's what you have when you get into the posture. You have to have that feeling. You have to have that intent of the feet are rooted.
Mm-hmm.
You really imagine roots going into the ground. You imagine the crown of the head as the tree limbs, as they're growing out and attaching and being part of heaven. And then the trunk in between, so everything is pulled up straight and firm and solid.
And not only do you feel like it, you feel like it, but when I went to hug you when you were in that posture teasing you, you felt like a tree.
Yeah.
Like it was very odd. It's like, this is a tree, not a person.
Mm-hmm. So, shape and tension. So you can have that shape and tension with everything. Everything out there is showing you that. We saw the big buck come through the yard. You can have the shape and tension of what that buck is doing and feeling like.
Mm-hmm.
So you imagine yourself as the buck now. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing?
Why are you in this yard?
And that's true for you as you feel that and experience it. That is you. You take on more of what that is.
Back to the 500 million.
Yeah.
That you are all the compound idea. That's that same thing. You are that deer. If your intention is with the deer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were talking about. That's really what shapeshifter refers to, is shifting your intention.
Yes.
To be that.
Yes, exactly.
You don't have to go in a bucket in a corner at night.
Yeah, because again, if you want to experience the outdoors and the woods and the creatures and critters that are out there, go out there and sit and really be a stump. Really feel that. Just know that you're this stump. And then you'll open up. Your vision opens up. Your senses open up. You'll start to hear and see things that you never saw before. And that's when deer and everything will just walk right by you. You're not even there. Like you were a stump or something.
Yes.
See?
You've had squirrels crawl up you.
Yeah, you can experience that. And it's really an interesting experience. And you can do that with anything. So you can imagine yourself as a fox, as a deer, as a... You know, really feel it. Really feel the essence of what that is.
Wow.
And it opens up a lot of worlds that are right here, right now.
Right here, right now. Not someplace to go.
No, you're not.
But someplace to be.
Exactly.
So I know we're coming. We have a little while, but I want to make sure we're covering everything you wanted to cover in November. And one of the things that is the season of understanding. So that's actually what we've been talking about all
right.
along.
Well,
God is its understanding itself.
Yes. And just like what we said in Revelation, read like a rod to measure. So it's the understanding of something. And then when we went further into Revelation 11, talked about the two witnesses come about in the 11th chapter, the two witnesses. And then it talked about the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Look at it all symbolically. Two olive trees, like the love and charity and the enlightenment of the two lampstands.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chapter 11 in Revelation talks after 3.5 days, so that's at testing time.
Yeah.
The breath of life from God entered the two witnesses that were done in by the dragon. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them, because that can't be.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that at 11:11, the two witnesses stand back up.
Yeah, that is interesting. And
again, two.
Two equal one. Yeah. Now, I'd like that, just a little comment on that testing time, because that testing time, it really eliminates the people that, not the people, but the idea that you can just say the words, you know, like, shabam. That doesn't really work that way. You actually have to take the action within what your intent is.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, gee, I'd like to learn to shapeshift. Okay, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Well, walk outside or sit in your living room. Imagine yourself as a deer, as a tree, as a stump. Imagine that. Practice it. You want to stalk something? Learn how to stalk something and then get out there and stalk it. You want to learn how to go within, how to do a standing at the post posture for 20 minutes? Well, you have to get up and stand in that posture for 20 minutes and feel the experience and really imagine yourself as one, rooted in everything, and your consciousness and vision expanding, and do that. It has to be practiced on a regular basis. And then things start to change and open up, and you'll see so much more of what's been there all along.
Well, you made an important point there that we talked about before that we wanted to mention about stalking.
Mm-hmm.
About stalking your own tracks.
Oh, right, yeah. There was a book called Born to Run, and they talked about a fella in Africa. I think it was a white fellow who was going to college and decided he wanted to go find out more information about Aborigines, about the pure native people that lived in Africa. And so he dropped out of college, and he wasn't an anthropologist, didn't know about that at all, didn't know about tracking, didn't know anything really about that kind of thing. But he sought out some native people because he wanted to find someone that lived in the pure way, the old way of how the hunter-gatherers and how they live. And he had a heck of a time finding anybody because they'd all kind of turned over to the new way of living and living in villages that were created by, you know, more corporate kind of thing idea. So anyway, he finally found a tribe that had six guys in it who actually did the old method and hunted in the old way, persistence hunting. And so one day, you know, he lived with them for 4 years, so he really got to know this is how they live. And
yeah,
they lived off the land, and he said, if you want to know what life is like, learn how to survive. Go out there and survival. It teaches you so much. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's how he discovered it. So anyway, one morning they get him up. They're going to go on a persistence run, a hunt, and they're going to hunt this kudu, I think it was called, a really fast creature. And they were going to run it down. So they're constantly running. They run for 10, 15 miles. And but they're isolating one kudu. And the thing is, they keep going back into the herd, but they know the kudu because they know how to track that individual.
Mm-hmm.
They can see its tracks. They can even track its fecal matter because they said everyone's unique to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So they can read all those signs. And then they can also read their own signs. So what he learned in the end was they know how to read their own tracks. And what they do when they're on these very long runs, because it took them most of the day, they run 40, 50 miles altogether. And what they learn to do is they have to go back and look at their own tracks, because they watch the kudu, they see how it starts to stumble and
yeah,
trip up. And in the end, the kudu just dropped over dead.
Right.
Because they outrun it.
Right.
But they have to constantly look at their own tracks to see if they're starting to go downhill in their own energy.
That's because they become so at one with the kudu.
Yes.
That they that if they don't keep track in their own tracks, then they could drop dead
they
too.
They could drop, exactly. They will drop just like the kudu. So they have to monitor themselves, and they do that by going back and looking into tracks and studying their own tracks and go, oh. Then they stop and pause. They drink water and they let it trickle down their throat. They wash their face.
They
do things. Yeah, they become very solid in who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get up and will walk and go back and look at their tracks again to see if they're back. And then they proceed with them.
And that's exactly what we started this out with, which is the awareness of who you are, being present in your life.
Yeah.
Being present in it and not being caught up in what it is that you're doing so that you lose yourself in it, and continuing to look at your tracks by going within.
Yeah.
To discover that.
And so you can do that so when you're listening and watching other individuals and you notice something, and you go, oh, that doesn't sound right. That's the time to go back and look at yourself and go, what am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing?
Is this
because
me?
I may also be going in that direction because I just saw it.
Yeah.
So it's a check, and that's where you pause. That's where you can pause, you breathe, you start to be aware of what you're saying and what you're thinking, and that will get you back on track.
So is it me or the kudu?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what you want to be asking.
All of a sudden drop over.
Exactly. Wow. Well, so as we finish up, we do these hours, and we think we'll never have enough, and then we end up with like 15 pages left to talk about.
We could have done 3 hours on this so easily.
This was easy, so we'll have to like let it flow over to December. But the rhythm of this month is?
The rhythm is the benefactor planner. It's share in truth, and it's walk in truth.
And that, what more could you do?
What more can you do? Yeah, exactly.
So any last things you want to say before we say goodnight, Gracie?
I don't think so.
Okay, so next month will be in the month of December, and the number
12. Yeah.
Which is going to be a very interesting thing. So what we want to send people out with is go within.
Yeah,
go
within.
And come from the right premise and the right, and expect to see a shift in the outside world, but don't shift the outside world expecting to see a change in the inside.
Yeah, and you can practice the pause and then going within at any opportune moment. I mean, it doesn't have to be a specific place. I have to go here, and it has to be just like this, and it has to be just right. Or you can pause and do a countdown anytime.
Yeah, it doesn't
just
have to
get your.
Yeah,
that's like reading your own tracks when you do
exactly.
A countdown. You're relaxing,
in the
you're calming
store,
down. Yeah, you're standing in line
in the
waiting
bank,
to check out. Do a countdown. Do a 360 vision.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do these things anytime. It gets you to get back on track and be aware of where am I in the moment?
Yes, because the outside world will say, well, you have to have the right time. It has to be quiet and dark.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
to have a candle. You can't have any noise. And that will just
And the only time I can practice is here. No, you can practice
all the time.
I mean, you have to practice.
And the more we do that, then the more we actually experience the presence of what we're calling God as our life. So what more could you want?
What more?
Not more.
Not more.
All right. Thanks, Delbert.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you next month.
All right.
I keep thinking about the idea of how much energy is in just one human body. Isn't this a great symbol of the unlimited possibilities that are open before us, and that we already contain all that is needed for their fulfillment? To be a shapeshifter, first we shift our intention. Intent, one of my favorite words. In fact, I wrote a self-help book on it called The Intent Course, Say Yes to What Moves You. It's in the show notes, along with Jamie Sam's books, Dell's Info, and Tom Brown's book. You can find this podcast at theshift.com/podcast or under the series called The Months. Let us know how your November is going for you. Choose the way you want to reach us. It's all at theshift.com. Here's your shift idea for today. Don't attach reality to symbols. Or, said another way, don't begin with a human worldview idea. When we translate everything back to spirit, the force, truth, we are beginning with the right premise. Till next time, let's keep shifting the story together. Thank you.